dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones. The original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, Hancock! Oh! Off the top of the backboard, no. Loose, Hancock, front court, Mason. Long base hit point, George Mason.
Game one is in the books, and we got a win, Jonesy. Woo. Game one win. And in total Paulson era fashion, it was a bit of a nail biter.
Yeah, you're either losing or you're winning, you know, barely. So I'll take the winning barely. But this is kind of Paulson's bit. This time we won, so I'm stoked. I don't know. This is a positive start considering, you know, Justin Kyer is out. So all in all, I'm pleased. So.
And, you know, it's nice the way the game ended. Yeah, of course, we went on stretches and we let them back in it. There was multiple times during the game we could have blown them out. But then we got to overtime and there was no question.
Yeah, I tend to think that Mason, you know, as a whole this season, they're going to operate a little bit more like the overtime, or maybe they'll sort of meet in the middle. Like, we weren't as bad as regulation was. We were missing shots, but... You know, it all looked fine. Like, I wasn't really, like, you know, angry at Paulson or angry at the players. Just things weren't falling. We obviously popped off in overtime. We outscored them 16-3. So we're likely somewhere in between. But I'd like to say that the regulation is more of an outlier. So.
And I would kind of put that on Javon Green. Yeah, he played well, but missed a lot of shots early on, including layups. We didn't shoot well from the line. But then Green found it, you know, and he hit that first three in overtime, I believe. And he just kind of, you know, showed that poise, never quit on himself, kind of kept himself in the game. He played a ton. And I just think that if his shot can fall earlier, he's got the ultimate green light, and he can be a guy that, you know, is averaging 15 to 18 points a game. I think his shots will fall earlier and faster.
And I think the answer of who's going to fill Kyer's role was kind of answered game one. It's going to be sort of this blend of, you know, Green and XJ maybe, but Green definitely just piled on the minutes. Like, he's sort of deemed sort of the captain on the court, essentially. So, yeah, he was impressive. It could have been even more impressive. With Green, I always feel like he's just, like, you know, a few shots away from just completely exploding. You know, he just has all the potential in the world. So, completely excited to see him.
He finished with 11-5-5, so his fingerprints were all over the game.
Yeah.
And he did miss a ton of shots early on. Went 4 from 12 from the field. He hits three more of those shots, and, you know, we're having a different conversation.
Hard.
But you know what was also interesting in the game is that Miller got himself in foul trouble. Second foul he drew was kind of nubby, but his game, the finesse, it just kind of looks like he has the total package.
Yeah, and this we could even look back to the exhibition game versus Catholic. Miller was just doing what Miller does, and he was just cleaning up the boards. Now, was it their you know, first game? He had two rebounds. No, because of the foul trouble. But you know, it just looks like it's going to be his bread and butter all year. He looks just completely poised, and he knows his role, and he's just playing a little bit longer than his actual dimensions. Like, he's just going to be a special player. So I liked what I saw out of him. He got a 9-2 stat line, 3 assists. I mean, he's touching the ball. He had 2 steals as well. He kind of was just doing a little bit of everything in limited time. So again, an impressive stat line that, you know, otherwise doesn't look, you know, that impressive with just 9 points. But one other person that kind of, you know, is under the radar, sort of, but let's talk about AJ Wilson. I mean, a double-double to start the season.
9 offensive rebounds, too.
Where was this? I mean, we've all been kind of waiting to see this, and it's almost like he was in a cage and DP just, you know, took off the lock and he just ran around. Like, he was just going bonkers.
AJ Wilson is posting on his Instagram, "Free me."
So that kind of, well, that he was kinda, freed.
That kind of tells you. I mean, you know, there has been a lot of talk over the years that he wasn't disciplined enough, and, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, you know, we saw him make mistakes out there, but I think we're going to play much faster, and he kind of fits into that offense. You know, we're getting out and running. You know, we'll touch on Hartwell a little bit here soon, star of the game. You know, I think if we can get out and run, I mean, he had that transition dunk that just looked so easy. Caught it like near half court, took two dribbles, Euro stepped by his guy, and two hands slammed.
I think that's going to be like the low-key benefit of AJ. And it's something that we haven't seen since Mike Mo, but it's literally just like infusing energy into the crowd, into the team. Like, those dunks are going to get players more hyped, more amped. And you know, I just think it's something that will never show up on like the stat sheet, but that energy is needed. And additionally, his five blocks, that gets you pumped up on the other end of the court. I mean, five blocks? This guy, you know, may set a block record if he continues to log what he did in the first game, 32 minutes. So huge minutes, and he took full advantage of those minutes. So got to be really impressed with AJ.
And throw in two assists. So when he starts scoring, then he becomes a facilitator. Mm-hmm. You know, because people are going to have to double him. They're going to have to come out further on him. His first shot of the game was a three. He didn't make it. Maybe some people didn't love it, but it showed confidence. If the guy can hit that shot at a 20 to 25%, you're going to have to respect him. You're going to have to step out on him. And so, you know, I just was really impressed with his overall game.
Also, what about just drooling over the fact that we had Miller, AJ on the court at the same time with Cali? I mean, the size that we were repping, the length, the athleticism, the speed. I mean, it was just something that we've never seen from a Paulson-led team. And so this is all new. Like I tweeted it out. Like, this is a completely different team you're seeing this year. Like, we're not seeing Kyer, Boyd, Otis, all the you know, the regulars. We're not seeing them play their hits. We're seeing a completely new band, and it's fun. I mean, I had a blast watching the game.
I mean, just knowing that we're not watching Jared like rumble up and down the court. I mean, it completely changes our team. And I want to touch on one thing. You know, you spoke on defense and blocks, and you know, putting guys like Miller and AJ and even Marr, who we'll also touch on, up at the top of the zone press. Those guys are long. They can get their hands on the ball, and then they can convert, get steals, and immediately be going the other direction and getting easy dunks and layups. I just really like the way that Paulson is kind of utilizing the length and size that we do have. But let's touch on Marr for a second. 22 minutes, 0 points, 0 rebounds, and 1 assist. His shots fell. One was like an air ball, like 8 feet mm-hmm. from the bucket. Yeah. I just, you know, is he just used goods? Is he just in his own head? You know, I still think there's a place for him on the team. He can't be too excited about coming off the bench. Still got 22 minutes, though.
I mean, you don't like to see it. I mean, it's obviously there's either something going on with, you know, the fact that his shots kind of altered since he's been here, the injury, is he in his own head? Something is clearly off that, you know, you're really hoping on Paulson to sort of correct it. And, you know, if he's sort of the guy that can, you know, progress players over the tenure of their college career, you know, if that's one of his strengths, then let's see it. I want to see this through. I'm not ready to give up on Marr. I want to see him get more minutes, but he needs to start by just getting an easy bucket to start, I think. Just give him like if we can design a play just to get him like a simple jumper, and maybe things can kind of click from there. But yeah, you definitely don't want to see 22 minutes on the court and merely putting up one assist. I mean, that was just, you're a ghost.
I mean, yeah, no need for goose eggs from a guy getting 22 minutes. I think,
especially our top rated recruit, you know, in DP's history, essentially. So,
and one thing he did really well, I guess, his freshman year now, a couple seasons ago, was he just got into the paint really well. Like, one dribble, two dribbles, pull up, or facilitate. He is a good passer. He does probably have one of the better basketball IQs on the team. So I just want to see, you know, and there is questions right now about DP's offense. You know, it still kind of facilitates around the three-point line. you know, it's still very pick and roll heavy. Does it allow or force guys into specific positions? I can't really tell yet. I got Petey Buckets kind of trying to, you know, diagnose it. He's sitting media row with me now, and he's kind of taking a focus on just figuring out our offensive defensive schemes. And he's not too impressed himself. So, you know, I want to see, like, we got to get Mar going, you know, especially in these games versus Navy and Longwood and Longview and whoever, you know,
A lot of longs. I mean, they're coming up. So if we could also get a Cam Long appearance, that would be great.
So, you know, I'd like to see, you know, us help him establish his confidence that looks severely lacking.
I mean, I think that he tried to help him in the sense that he gave him the opportunity with 22 minutes. You look at people like Aduro logging 11 minutes, Daddy getting 3 minutes, JDS getting 5 minutes. You know, I think it's clear that Paulson has kind of found his 5 to 6 guys up until Kyer's return, but it kind of looks like we have a strong idea of who's going to be playing a ton of minutes. So
Josh and Daddy both played a collective 14 minutes and got 5 rebounds. That's 5 more than Mar got in 22 minutes. So
sure,
we'll see how that rotation goes. Hartwell, though, 39 minutes? I would have never guessed. I assume that has to do with, obviously, Kyer being out, Miller being in foul trouble. But
I mean, Hartwell getting 39 minutes, I mean, that just speaks to Otis 2.0. I mean, DP loves to, I guess, ride a point guard, like, aggressively, but he's also sort of our only option-ish right now. So it just speaks to kind of DP really just, you know, sticking with a point guard. So and Hartwell appears to be that guy. I mean, he looked like a stud.
Yeah, 4 from 13 from the field, 4 of 10. So all of his shots came. He took 10 3-pointers, which I didn't know. That's a ton.
Still a 40% clip. I mean, please.
I know. 0 for 3 from the free throw line. Going to have to do better. He actually drew an and one hitting a 3, which was, you know, that was massive at the time. But the one play you got to talk about is just kind of him hitting that 3 to tie it up. I thought we were done. I was like, uh-oh, here we go. We've seen the story again. Scoring in the 50s, about to lose a home opener.
Also, just looking at the final play, which we didn't make, which was a Hartwell 3. I don't know if DP drew that up, but it's clear that Hartwell is sort of that dependable deep range shot as of right now. I think he's the only reliable deep shot that we have. And I actually wanted to go back to your bit on the free throws. He was 0 of 3 from free throw. We were actually shooting poorly in scrimmages and in our exhibition from the free throw line. Something here has to pick up. We shot 53% from the free throw line. We're not going to win games, or at least close games, if we continue to shoot around 50 or 60% from the free throw line. That used to be kind of a staple of the DP era. You know, you had Mar used to be this reliable free throw shooter. You know, we could have easily won this game if we hit a few more of our free throws. And so, you know, that's got to be something that you got to work on in practice, and maybe we see improvement. But thus far, it's been an issue.
And it was an issue in the Catholic game, issue in our open scrimmage.
Right.
And so it's something that we have to lock down. I mean, if we lost that game to Navy, it wouldn't have been because Navy was better than us. We would have beat ourselves. Yeah, Navy, the coach said, I asked him, like, you know, you guys dominated us on the glass. And he said, you know, that's got to be a focus of ours because, you know, we're not a high-scoring team. So, you know, he said he spends a lot of time in practice really kind of teaching rebounding technique, and it showed. And so, you know, if you're giving up a lot of offensive rebounds, they're going to keep the team in the game. So that's also, so free throws and rebounding, two things we got to shore up. But let's get to the guy, freshman impact,
the man of the hour. X gonna give
it to you. A guy that we have been, you know, hyping from looking at his stats, and I even went and saw a couple games live in his high school career. I mean,
well, you know, even talking to people that have seen him, you know, for the last few years, Adam Alu or whatever, you know, just talking to people, former coaches, even just, you know, flat out just, I mean, I know you can't judge a book by its cover, but the kid came in looking like a senior. I mean, just his body was just completely built to sort of handle the A-10. And so XJ, I mean, I think we tweeted it, the best debut from a freshman since George Evans. Is that
right? Yeah.
I mean, that's special. That's very special, folks.
I mean, and it was a solid 15, like hitting threes, getting to the bucket.
Efficient. Five of seven from the field, one of two from three, four of five from free throw. He got rebounds, four assists, two steals. I mean, come on. This is a freshman?
And he looks jacked. Like, he doesn't look like a freshman. Not obviously not the tallest kid, but just looks like, I mean, when he was taking the ball to the bucket and getting fouled, it didn't faze him. He was actually flexing while sitting on the ground one time. It was just everything you'd want to see from a freshman debut.
I mean, I think most Mason fans, season ticket holders, they are drooling at the thought of seeing X, Miller, you know, Hartwell for the next few years, you know, even Green and it's just like, this is a young, talented team. I'm excited. And the more we play, you know, without Kyer, the more we're going to have to rely on these guys early. And the schedule's a little soft early, so we can kind of, you know, make some mistakes. But, you know, by the time we hit the Cayman Islands, you know, that's going to be our test. And so, I don't know, I'm really interested to see how this turns out. But
pile up the wins now is obviously a mistake early on last season. Really ended up crippling the fan base. You have AJ bringing the rim down. You have XJ flexing on people after layups. You're going to get the crowd excited. Petey caught up with Johnson after the game and interviewed him. So here it is.
This is Pete. I'm here with Xavier Johnson after a big debut for the freshman. Xavier, a couple big plays in overtime. You had a strong take with a couple free throws. Hit a big three. Tell me what it was like getting in the game and getting into the rhythm there.
I was a little nervous at first, but Justin helped get that out of my way. He told me to go in there and just be a spark. It starts with a defensive end, so I just went in there and tried to get stops and just defend. And I got a couple steals that led to some buckets for us. So that was a good momentum getter. So
yeah, you guys deployed that 1-2-2 zone a little bit. That looked nice. We didn't do much of that last year. I don't know if you know that, but you guys been working on that this offseason?
Yeah, we definitely been working on it. We got size. We got fast guards. So we're just really trying to put pressure on teams. And me and Maul are just Coach Pies is getting up and putting pressure on. He says we're the fastest guards in the country, so that's what we try to be, just put pressure on guys and get steals.
Love it, man. You're speaking my language. Last question. You got to taste the D1 ball for the first time now. What do you think your biggest adjustment is going to be?
I think my biggest adjustment is just being more confident in myself, just being more aggressive. My coaches and teammates are definitely pushing me to do that, so I would say that. And just being more comfortable and just being confident and talking more, just being a communicator since I'm a point guard. I would say that.
Yeah. Awesome. Great job, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
See you around.
We got a Friday home game coming up. I don't know if you're listening to this on Friday, get yourself excited, making your way to Fairfax. There's a tailgate. You know the Giant Killer crew will be out there grilling up some hot dogs. This isn't going to be our hardest tailgate. We got a JMU Saturday game tailgate coming up next week. And man, am I excited. Yeah, I know, like, basketball tailgating's not a thing. It could be a little bit cold.
It's too cold.
Mason Nation needs this. We need to bring the students in. And if this is one way to do it, I'm all about it. We'll be giving out free food, drinks to those who have a valid ID and shows that they're 21. And come join the GK guys. We'll have an American flag and a Mason flag hanging high. If you see it, come by, say what's up. Food and drinks on us.
So first, I kind of wanted to dispel the theory that, you know, you can't tailgate in cold weather. Well, hold up. We actually, Brian and I just came back from Buffalo this last weekend, and we were literally in the number one tailgate in all of sports, I would say. The Bills Mafia goes as hard as anybody else on a game day, and it was freezing outside, wind chills around 30, and we had guys shirtless out there. We had, you know, people taking shots, jumping off of, you know, trucks, going into tables, and all this type of stuff. So if you are concerned about the cold weather, it's like the best tailgate in the world is happening in a cold weather area. So, I mean, I'm just saying that go show up, huddle around the grill, you'll be fine. Wear a jacket.
I mean, the last two homecoming tailgates have been like cold and raining.
And it's still lit. It's like, it's what you make of it. If you go right in being like, man, it's cold, it's okay. And man, I could be inside right now. Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, duh. But I mean, it's like, who wants to be at Brian's? You could be at Brian's Grill every other fucking game. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, you're given the opportunity to tailgate.
Well, it's $37.
Okay. Well, do you have five friends? We can make this a lot cheaper.
Or just come to our tailgate for free. For free. You know, like you're not going to know a single friend there that you can just kind of pop into. There's going to be, you know, frats and frat alum and the alumni associations putting on an event for the JMU tailgate. I mean, you know, it's fine. If you don't want to go, don't come. But right, don't hate on it. Right. You know, don't openly bash things that people are out there working hard on. You know, like, we did that for a while, and you know what?
It Mason's, felt good.
Mason stepped up. You know, yep, they got us, they fixed some things that we've complained about, one of which being tailgating, and we have it now, we're excited for it, and you guarantee we're going to be out there.
And like, who knows? Maybe, all right, so Longwood one may or may not pop off, but I have a good feeling about the JMU tailgate. And look, if this thing is a success, we'll continue to do it, and you build up the fan base, you build up pride and you make things a tradition. And so that's how things start. We're just not going to kill it out the gate. Like, for right, Christ's sake, just show up.
Yeah. Sorry. And a lot of people like to talk down on things that they don't show up to. So at that point, just say nothing, you know, just let people go have fun. Who cares if you're there or not? So we'll be raging. We'll be out there 100%. Giant Killer knows what he's doing. You can expect some carne asada on the grill. So come out, have a good time, drink a Tecate with us.
But let's focus on Longwood. That is the opponent here reigning out of the Big South. So like, are they good? You know, it's quick and easy. I could just say that they bomb. Like, let's get real. It's a Longwood. But did they actually handily defeat their first opponent? Yeah, they blew out the Marymount Virginia Saints. Is that a real school? Either way, they won 73-51. And the only thing that I could possibly see as a concern here is the hashtag size of Longwood. They play big. I mean, they have guys... you know, that are easily going to be a lot bigger than our forwards. And, you know, you look at what Navy did on the glass, it's a little bit of a concern. If we're not making our shots, could this be an issue? And we just kind of have to hope that, you know, our guys are clearly better than their guys. But, you know, could there be an issue? Maybe. I don't know.
And it is a bit of wishful thinking, but, like, it would be nice to just simply blow a team out.
Oh, blow them the fuck out.
You know, like, let's just beat up on a squad and build that confidence going into the Cayman tournament and build that confidence going into A-10 play. I don't want to limp into this stuff anymore.
So Longwood out-rebounded their opponent 40-27. And we were out, you know, so I'm just saying that that's sort of the one thing that I've circled and said, well, this could be an issue.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I mean, they as well played like all of their squad. So, you know, that's what these teams are going to do early on. Everyone's trying to figure out their lineups.
Yeah.
But you got to expect that we're going to come out again in a press. And one thing I touched on with Paulson was, you know, I noticed when we forced them to pick up the ball, our guys dropped back into passing lanes, which I like. You know, to force them to make a decision, you now can pretty much cover everybody and one, and force them to make a bad pass, force them to overthrow it out of bounds. But Paulson said that's not necessarily the goal. He's like, you know, we ended up having to play some guys a lot, and you get tired, so then it's okay to sit back. But he sees them being aggressive as well in this press, and that's something that we've been asking for a while. And I think, you know, these teams early on that haven't had enough time to scout us and haven't, you know, we're not playing them two times and they haven't seen our length yet. I think that's an area that we can exploit. So cause some turnovers. It's demoralizing when you turn the ball over in your own zone. So I'm pretty excited. I think, you know, I don't want to predict a blowout, but a blowout would be fun to watch.
Yeah, and it looks like, so I mean, they put up 73 points. Mason, if they made like a lot of their shots, they would have put up obviously a lot more points. So I think that the pace of play may be ramping up in this game. Maybe we see some high scoring. I don't know, but I would like to predict a score, maybe like Mason 75, Marymount 64. Like that's kind of my lock. So Mason 75, Marymount 64. What's your, or not Marymount, Longwood, sorry. Ooh,
I would say it's pretty similar. You know, I don't foresee us getting up into the 80s. It would be nice to
maybe
hit, like,
if we made our shots.
It would be nice to get into like the mid 70s. Right. You know, I don't know too much about Longwood.
No one does, not even Longwood students.
So I just want to see us kind of, you know, Paulson's working out our rotations, and I'm cool with that. But also I'd like to see us kind of hone in on our best rotation, figure one out. You know, at the end of the game, we settled for like Mar and AJ to close the game out, and Clix didn't see a lot of minutes. He was fouling a lot and was getting out-rebounded. So maybe
it was an off game, I think.
Maybe he deserved to sit on the bench, but I don't think that that's our best lineup to close a game. And so I'm interested to see, you know, kind of what Paulson does. You know, fifth year, got a lot of criticism from us over the years,
also a lot of hype. I mean, we talk about what we see. I mean, the results on the court, we're going to talk about it. If he's good, we'll hype it. If he's bad, you know, we'll hate. I mean, simple as that.
And the young kids stepping up, obviously, is something. You know, he's doing our recruiting. We got some guys coming in next year that we're also excited for. So just kind of interested to see what these young guys do. Even a Javon Green is only a junior. You know, we got him for one more year. So excited to see what he does with these lineups. You know, it's not the two-year season bit. You know, we have no expectations. No expectations were set. You know, we have the ability to just kind of enjoy this and see this team come together.
When you're you know, preseason all A-10 second team player Justin Kyer goes down with an injury, it is really unpredictable. We don't know what we're going to see. I mean, this is kind of just us kind of sitting here and I'm watching as if I'm a brand new fan and I have no idea who these players are, because it's a completely different product. And game one was pretty cool. I mean, I'm excited to see the Longwood game and see all these players and see them gel, and hopefully they can, you know, build some type of rapport. And you know, when Kyer gets back, hopefully we have a good record and we can kind of build off of that. I mean, I think that there's definitely some optimism here. So,
and we could have used him. You know, Navy went to a 2-3 zone, and last year Kyer just kind of destroyed zones, being able to catch the ball at the high post, shoot it, get to the bucket, facilitate. So I am excited for his return. One thing I'd like to touch on is just like the team's,
what is it, Brian?
the team just looks confident. You know, you got a lot of guys that
there's
carry
a little bit
themselves.
Of swag, you know?
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's not to say that Otis didn't or that Grayer didn't, but sometimes they just both looked mopey at times. I don't know if that's accurate assessment.
I wouldn't say mopey, but I would say that they were hard on themselves. They expected a lot because they knew a lot was on them. Otis would drop his head, and it's nothing against Otis. It was just that he knew that the weight of the world was on his shoulders, and if he didn't make that last three, you know, his head would ring, you know. And so, yeah, I get why they were a tad, you know, like you would say, mopey. But I think that they just knew that it was all on them. And right now, we don't know who it's on. Like, is it on a freshman right now? Or, like, who are we putting this on? A guy that's barely logged minutes? It's just crazy to think that no one really knows how to even defend our team, because there's no real tape on these guys.
And it just looked like they were out there having fun. Yep. And wins add to that. Pulling out tough wins.
God, I want to win. I just want to fucking win.
And just kind of, you know, coming together, you know, to dig deep into OT, I think was super important for us. And I think we're going to build on that. Guys, this has been the original By George podcast of the By George Podcasting Network. We are Team Giant Killer. We got big things coming up this year. We may be going to the Cayman Islands. We may be going to see Grayer at TCU. We'll have more information about all that coming up here soon. Chris, it's awesome to get back on.
Real quick, where can you find us? Just in case people haven't found us yet.
Everything on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at By George GMU. and everything. Giant Killer at GMU, Giant Killer, also same affiliates. We do have a Patreon.
I don't even know what the hell it is.
Please go donate to us. We're going to be putting exclusive content on there throughout the season. And we're just excited to take you to the next level. We want to welcome Liam and Tony to the team. If you haven't
seen...
And Daniel.
The whole squad.
Women's hoops for us. But Liam and Tony put out a post-game video. Haven't seen it, check it out at giantkiller.co.
I'm submitting that video for an Academy Award. I mean, that thing deserve to win like a documentary award, something. But that looked like a 30 and 30 from ESPN. Like, legit quality.
Interview with Hartwell. And we also got athletic director Brad to hop on the show and commit to coming to one of our tailgates. So you got to come. Hopefully we can get him to have a beer. Probably not, but I'm going to try.
Get him completely hammered out of his mind.
I'm going to try to get him to shotgun a beer. I'm going to open it with my teeth like that guy in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And force him to take a drink with us. But guys, you know, thanks for listening. Shows are going to be coming out every week. We also got Hey Tens already dropped. The Ryan and Domcast already has episode one of this year. Jesus. And we are full steam ahead.
But, I mean, what else could we say except until next week?
See you at Longwood.
Well, at Mason, but you get the bit.
We're out. You gonna do? I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. Only that you know who can chill. Come back and get the streets open. I've been doing this for 19 years. Wanna fight me? Fight these tears. I put in work and it's all for the kids. But these cats done forgot what work is. They don't know who we be looking. But they don't know who they see. First we gonna rock, then we gonna fold. Then we let it pop. X gon' give it to ya. First we gonna rock, then we gonna fold. Then we let it pop, don't let it go. Come on. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. X gon' give it to ya, he gon' give it to ya. Ayo, where am I? Dad, I know I got him down in the greens. Give him love and they give it back. Talk too much for too long. What? Don't give up, you're too strong. What? Love to the wild, wild hunters. Yeah. Shout out to that done it. And it ain't even about the dough. It's about getting down for what you stand for, yo. For real. We gonna